All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we are going to continue live where we left off. For those of you who are joining with us physically in-house, and for those of you that are joining with us in person, we want to thank God for those of you who are able to make it here physically and those of you who are able to join us online. Truly do appreciate you. And I hope and pray that you are encouraged by the material that we are going to continue to study together here in our Sunday school topical studying here. And so with that said, we are back in the Red Book, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles, written by Pastor James W. Knox of Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida. And this is our study of the Bible teaching of the miracle, signs, and wonders, and how to rightly divide that as it pertains to application for the Christian church today. And this is going to be a topic that you definitely want to continue to study with us, not as if we are the ultimate ones with this particular perspective, but we are trying our best to get Bible truth back into the hearts of believers so they don't have to depend upon their church tradition or their feelings to justify the truth. And so with that said, we're talking about the Corinthian use of tongues, and we're talking about the Bible doctrine, the Bible teaching on tongues. So I hope and pray that you go back to our parts 1 through 5 to see where we've already laid the foundation, and if you're tuning in with us, please stay to the end so you can see all the Bible material that we're going to cover as we continue on this subject of the gift of tongues. Now we're going to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For those of you who are on the online, if you don't have the book, for those of you who have the book, the Red Book in-house, page 51, page 51, and we're going to continue here. Before we do, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Please help us to have wisdom. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see the truth from the scriptures, and help us to continue to grow in learning Bible doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so where we left off in our book last Sunday was regarding the importance of the spiritual gifts as stated by God's Spirit here as it pertains to importance, level of importance. And so we were discussing what the last verse we read from last Sunday in regards to the more important gift, or that which is to be sought after, the greater gift. For those of you who are with us, we researched 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 31, and I'll just quickly show you for the online crowd. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. We left off with that thought that the order of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is not one of chronology as it pertains to when it was dispensed, but of matter of importance, of matter of importance. And so the point of these verses, top of page 51, is that no matter what we do for God or in the name of God, no matter how good it looks or feels, if we do not have charity, it is of no profit. Because where we left off from our last study is that the greatest gift is charity. So this is where we're going to pick up where we left off here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So what is Paul rhetorically stating? If I had this, but I did not have that, it does not profit. He is not emphatically stating that he possesses those gifts. Again, these are rhetorical statements. This is the argument. What our charismatic Pentecostal brethren do is they wrongly divide verse 1 to describe that there is such thing as an angelic tongue for the Christian to pray in, the spiritual language of which no one knows but the speaker, and somehow, some way, somebody else is supposed to interpret it. Ironically, in their local congregations, nobody knows what the Waka Waka Pac-Man language is, but somebody does, ironically. It's within their own congregation. And so that's the argument here that Paul is presenting here. If he doesn't have charity, it's not going to be profitable. So question number one is, did he have the knowledge of all mysteries? No. Number two, did he have all faith so he could physically call on that mountain to be removed? No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, he got beaten, he got persecuted, he got whipped, eventually got his head cut off. That's the argument. He's telling the Christian in Corinth, who is making such a show of these gifts and this Christian doctrine and their practice of it to exalt the outward phenomena over the written doctrine or the oral doctrine given by the apostles, and the greatest that the Spirit of God is trying to remind them and us today is charity, love amongst the brethren. Keep going down to verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So unfortunately, the standard handling, I'm on page 50. Unfortunately, the standard of handling this passage is that since Paul spoke with tongues of men and of angels, this teaches a heavenly language. Let us quickly brush aside the chaff and give the proper teaching of these verses. In the first place, every time in our Bible that the words spoken in heaven are identified linguistically, the language is said to be Hebrew. So there you have it. First of all, every time the Bible mentions the usage of tongues or of any language being spoken from an angelic ambassador, it is in the Hebrew tongue linguistically. There is no way to build a case for any other language being spoken in heaven upon the words of the Bible. Secondly, Paul did not say that he spoke in the tongues of angels. That's what our brethren wrongly interpreted. For those of you in house coming in, we're on the middle of page 50. These verses set forth an argument that declares the context and the intent of the entire chapter. And by the way, a little plug for those of you who like to study the Bible. You want to look at the whole chapter. Try to get the theme of the whole chapter, not just cherry picking verses for your argument. Look at the whole chapter. What is the theme the author is trying to make in his argument? Charity is the greatest. That's the theme. It is greater than spiritual gifts when you go down to verse number 8. It is greater than faith and hope when you go down to verse 13. It is greater than our knowledge when you go down to verses 9 through 12. And it is greater than good works done in the energy of the flesh, verse 3. The entire statements of verses 1 through 3 is an argument, and I agree with Brother James's statement there. Did Paul remove mountains? No. Did Paul give his body to be burned? Well, of course not. He was setting these things forth as arguments. If he did these things but did not do them as a genuine love offering to God for others, they would have been vain works to perish at the judgment seat of Christ. If he exercised spiritual gifts, including tongues and miracles, but did so for self-gratification, spiritual pride, or obedience to some human authority, such use of the gifts would be nothing more than an awful noise. No one could call the banging of pots and pans beautiful music unless he or she is a hopeless idiot or a little child in the euphoria of a good play frenzy. No one could call uncontrolled babbling the manifestation of the Holy Spirit except, let's get on moving it so we don't want to offend anybody. The point of these matters, top of page 51, is that no matter what we do for God or in the name of God, no matter how good it looks or feels, if we do not have charity, it is of no profit. Let's keep reading top of page 51, verses 4 through 6 in the Bible. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Suffereth long, that is long-suffering, that's patience, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You see, from these words, we must conclude that a doctrine or practice that leads us to be unkind to those who differ with us, or to be proud as an act as though God has made us spiritually superior to other believers because of some gift we have been given, is not charity. Thus, it is an unprofitable doctrine. If we have what we suppose to be a gift from God that is for self-gratification or self-edification, that is not charity. If we see people out of control physically and emotionally, that is not charity. If the plain exposition of the Bible as it stands upsets us and causes us to have hard thinking and unkind feelings toward the one setting forth the teaching, that is not charity. Amen. The Bible properly makes a distinction between charity and love. We find from checking every New Testament reference where these terms are found that charity is a term reserved for the particular love relationship between members of the body of Christ. Charity is distinct from all other types. Let's go down to verse 7. Charity, again, keep that in context, Christian. Verse number 4, charity, verse number 7. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now this being true, it is essential to our study of tongues to find out when they cease. Let's keep reading, verse number 9. For we know in part, talking about us as Christian, the Christian collective body, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, the standard interpretation is that when Paul wrote this epistle, the New Testament was not complete. I like how Brother James gives us the views of how other Christians view these verses. So the first view is generally amongst us as independent Baptists, that is, a lot of brethren want to preach that Paul was referring to the uncompletion of the New Testament Canaan. Second, there would yet be knowledge and prophecy given. The full and complete revelation of Scripture would be perfect. When this perfect Bible is finished, the signs and gifts would be done. That's the first interpretation a lot of brethren give. And it's a good one, and top of page 52, supports the basic positions of the fundamentalist camp, but it has some obvious flaws. First, the context of the remarks is not the written scriptures, but charity. So you see, I like how my brethren, the Baptist preachers, preach, yeah, tongues, they're going to cease when the Bible's complete. Yeah, tongues are going to cease and all those miracle signs and wonders when John finishes the book of Revelation. But the context, Brother James says, is that of charity. Second, if that which is in part means the scriptures in their part, and that which is perfect means the scriptures in their fullness, the phrase, that which is in part shall be done away, makes no sense at all. Those Baptist preachers who say this is reference to the full Bible coming to completion, then you know what the Bible just said? When the full Bible comes, and some of the Bible is going to go away. Do you understand the part? This is how we would have to understand the passage if the standard fundamental interpretation is followed. Quote, we now have the sign gifts because we only have part of the Bible, but when we have all the Bible, we will do away with the part of the Bible we had before it was complete. Now that cannot be correct, and I agree with Brother James. 1 Corinthians 13:11 is the picture of a child. Let's read. When I was a child, Paul says, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. As a child is a human being, a child is a human being as much as he will ever be. But there will be a growth and progression to manhood. I think all of us know what that is, obviously. In verse 12 is the picture of our understanding. Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The believer has all of God, salvation, eternal life, that we will ever have. But there is a growth and progression to greater apprehension of that truth. I agree. As soon as you become a convert, you got saved X time ago, you did not fully comprehend all the scriptures overnight. Can I get an amen? None of us just completely understood everything from Genesis to Revelation. It takes time to grow. Verse 13, what do we have here? Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We have faith, hope, charity. with the Lord, showing by these verses a progression in spiritual life unto perfection. This is the perfect complement to the first three verses of the chapter. These last three verses conclude the teaching which has run through the chapter. Now, simply put, spiritual gifts are not to be the aim and goal of the believer's life. Listen. If we see a man occupied with prophecies or tongues or any other spiritual gifts of the Spirit, we know the man is not yet a perfect man. That's good. That's real good. He may have faith or he may have hope, but he is yet a child lacking clear spiritual vision. That is really good. I like what Pastor James is saying there. Because look at what Paul said. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. At the end of verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The Christian progression is of maturity over time. While these believers were so emphatically excited about the gifts and their manifesting of gifts or their outward display of this outlandish living of gifts while living carnally because they had divisions and so on in Corinth, I like how the Holy Spirit just smacks the supposed spiritual believer with their gifts and says, charity is the greatest. You keep progressing in love, you keep progressing in faith, and you keep progressing in hope in your spiritual gifts, thinking that it's all about that. But if you don't have charity, you're still a child in your thinking as it relates to Christian maturity. You think it's all about the prophecy. You think it's all about the tongue speaking. You think it's all about this or that. And you don't have charity, you're still a child. That's what God said. That's good. This is the perfect complement. You see, the carnal Christians at Corinth were given spiritual gifts by God to benefit the body of Christ. And we talked about that last Sunday in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They used them selfishly because they lacked charity. And as a result, their occupation with the gifts of the Spirit kept them from being mature Christians, like we just read here today. Let's go on and move to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse number 1. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now here we see again, top of page 53, that there are some gifts of the Spirit more to be desired than others. Verse number 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. In this verse, there is nothing which instructs anyone to speak in an unknown tongue. Nor is there any indication that a person speaking in an unknown tongue is conversing in a heavenly or secret prayer language. That's not what the scriptures state. The wording of the verse is quite plain. This is a man at Corinth misusing a gift at worst, or using it as it. This verse does not say that God understands the speech, only that the man is speaking to God. This is exactly what we are told when we question a modern-day tongues talker about the language being used or the benefit rendered his hearers. He will respond, "Well, I was just talking to the Lord." Furthermore, look at the word Spirit in verse number 2. Do you see there? Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. The Spirit here is not a reference to the Holy Spirit. Number one. Number two, the Spirit here cannot possibly be a reference to the Holy Spirit. This is borne out by the lowercase rendering of the S and is confirmed by the remainder of the chapter. Keep reading verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. What did we just read about in 1 Corinthians 13? Charity seeketh not her own. But what's the tongue speaker doing in chapter 14? He's edifying himself. Woo! You guys like when you hear the Bible taught right. Amen. Tongues cannot be linked with charity. Their gifts were given to profit withal. These carnal Corinthians claimed a spiritual gift and used it contrary to the way it was used when given by the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. They made it a matter of carnal self-gratification. It is clear from these verses that tongues do not edify the church. Keep reading, verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? You see, Paul did not forbid the use, the exercise, or manifestation of any gift of the Spirit. He did not fight against God. However, he, top of page 54, appealed to these believers to seek after those gifts which would be most profitable to the body. Paul said, paraphrase, if I'm going to come and talk to you in order that you might be built up in the faith, why would I talk to you in some gibberish that you cannot understand? What good would that do you? How would that profit you? It might be thrilling to your carnal self, but would not edify you spiritually. I like how Brother James just paraphrased what Paul's saying here. Verse number 7. And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet given an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Now, I just want to harp on that for a second, because when I used to go to a church called Victory Outreach, that's essentially every service gathering, you would hear a woman preaching, which is unbiblical, behind the pulpit, or you hear a man preaching and praying and hala, 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 waka, waka, mala, kala, shala, kala, and all this craziness. You know what that Bible said? That is not a word understood by any of us in that congregation. So what was the argument there from the Spirit of God? If that person is speaking in something like that, he's only doing it within himself and for himself or herself. It's not spiritual. It's their own little mysterious thing that they're conjuring up with. There ain't no edifying to the body of Christ. Now that's Bible. That's not tradition. That's not a church statement of culture. This is Bible being instructed to these Corinthian believers to get back in order. And I hope to God all of our charismatic brethren across the earth will listen to the Bible taught properly so they can actually start being biblical in their gatherings. And second thing, I want to mention this to you. Look at what Paul said. Now, this has nothing to do with the context, but just listen for a second here. Except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. When you're preaching, when you're witnessing, or anything along those lines, you want to speak clearly so people can understand what you're trying to say. If they don't understand you by how you're coming off, they're not going to understand. So that's why I tell you, or anybody, or again, not just the members of our church, but you know, people that I minister online or just from other churches, when we're preaching and teaching, preach and teach in such a way that people will understand what's coming out of your mouth. Yes, God is the one doing the work behind the scenes, but we're the vessel. How are they going to understand unless the preacher sent? Well, when you are sent, preacher, preach so that they'll understand what you're saying. If you're talking in a tone or you're administering the word in such a way that they don't get it, they're not going to be benefited. So speak clearly, words easy to be understood. Can I get an amen? I think you understand what we're saying there. Let's keep moving on. Now these words make one thing perfectly clear. Nothing made by God gives sounds which cannot be understood by their kind. There is a gift of tongues from the Holy Spirit, and there is a babbling from the human spirit. These verses leave no doubt as to which is which. Look again at 1 Corinthians 14:2. Let's go back there. You can see there. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Every usage of tongues in the Bible administered by the Holy Spirit is a known tongue. But this man in Corinth, these women in Corinth, wrongly using the spiritual gifts, being selfish, being carnal, they started speaking in gibberish or some weird language as if they were spiritual. But the Holy Spirit said, you're speaking something unknown, not understood by anybody else. You're talking to God. It's unknown. That's just you. I hope they listen to this Bible, man. Let's keep going down before we close. Let's keep reading here. When the carnal Corinthian thought he was speaking to God. Verse number 9 says that such a one was actually speaking into the air. God is not moved, impressed, or blessed. He doesn't even pay attention. He reigns in heaven. Someone else is the prince of the power of the air. Woo! That's powerful. That's powerful. Because again, verse number 2 with verse number 9, if these fools are speaking words that are not understood by their hearers, they are just speaking to the air. Notice, they're not even speaking into heaven. Woo! How about that from a slap from the Spirit of God? Oh, man of God over here are going to give us the Word of God. What is the Word of God today, brother? If you're speaking in these foolish jibber-jabber languages of syllables repeated in fast tone and dialects, which you think is spiritual, God said, that's not getting up to me up in here in the third heaven. You're just speaking right into the air. That's your human spirit. That's not the Spirit of God. Now let's keep reading. Verse number 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Is it God's will that we manifest the fact that we are barbarians? That is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work. Keep reading verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, because they were, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now we've already been told that tongues does not edify, but prophesying does, when you go back earlier verses 1 through 3. Prophesying is greater. Tongues must be interpreted to be of any value. So, why not just speak to men for edification, exhortation, and comfort in their own language from the start? Verse 13 does not say to pray that we may speak with tongues more and more, but to pray that ye may interpret. Find out what you are trying to say and give it to us so that we can understand it. If I invite Pastor Alfredo from the Bible, the Spanish Baptist Church, to preach to you, and he preaches in Spanish, only a handful of you will be edified. The other, because you don't understand what he's saying. That's what the Spirit of God is trying to get us to simply understand here, man. It can't be any more perfect than this book. That is the only way to benefit the church. Now, before we close, one last paragraph. These things being true, we can see and what a vicious cycle so many of God's people are trapped in. They come into the body of Christ as simple men walking after the lust of the flesh. They are then taught to seek a fleshly experience to gratify self and are told that it is the proof they are full of the Holy Ghost. Having thus set themselves to pursue a fleshly experience and being surrounded by others in an equally selfish pursuit, these people receive so little true spiritual edification and ministry that they are all but doomed to remain carnal, fleshly believers. In reference to the tongue. Now we're going to close there. So what did we learn today? Once again, human spirit, got to control it. We talked about that last Sunday. Human spirit, angels from Africa, all those tongue speakers. The Lord said, that's your spirit. That's your spirit. That's not God's spirit. Holy Spirit, known tongues. These carnal Christians these believers at Corinth were being carnal, misusing the manifestation of these gifts. Now that we have the scriptures, we have the completion of God's wisdom or any revelation given to a man, there is no new revelation. There is no new knowledge that needs to be given to each individual. What knowledge needs to be given to the individual is the Word of God. If I come to you speaking in Spanish and I don't have somebody to interpret so that you may understand, It's not going to benefit you. If we invite a brother from Africa, a brother from China, a brother from Russia, and they start speaking and we don't have an interpreter, that's not going to edify you. The Lord is more concerned with the Christian learning the book than the supposed spiritual knowledge that he says or she says she received from God. He wants you to learn more of his Bible. And that's going to be done in a way that's easy to be understood. How about that? I like how God makes it easy. He wants you to understand it in your tongue. Easy to be understood. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and close. Father, thank you for this Bible study. I hope it was a provoking to many of us, either watching online or in-house, to consider your book to be trusted over the feelings. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, we'll see you in about 15 minutes. The Lord bless you.